Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 8 as we continue, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. And we are seeing, of course, in this powerful book that John presents Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior, and all who believe in Him have eternal life. If you remember, we started the book a number of weeks ago, and as you know, if you come to Countryside any time, you know that we go verse by verse, passage by passage through the Bible. We started with our background of the book, and if you remember the Gospel of John in John chapter 20, the writer, John, says that there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing that you would have eternal life. That's the message of this book. You see Jesus Christ, you see the signs, you see His message, you see who He is, and trust in Him as Savior. Now this morning, we're continuing with Jesus teaching in the temple area. He is having conflict with the religious leaders, and He goes right to the heart of the issue. Look at what He's doing. He says this, the unbelieving one, their father's the devil. Those who believe in Him, their father is God. And it's really powerful there. He calls the religious leaders, and this, you know how they are. He calls the religious leaders unbelievers and children of the devil. Of course, it's going to make them mad. And as you realize that we're just a few months as far as actual time-wise going through the Gospel of John before Jesus goes to the cross. He's not going to die at the Feast of Tabernacles. He's not going to die at the Feast of Hanukkah. He's going to die on Passover, as our Passover lamb. Now, as we begin, let me just raise a couple of questions for you to think about. First of all, who is your father? Because that's the point that he brings. He talks about two different fathers in this passage. We'll see that. Second, who is the devil and what is his plan? Now, most of us in this room, we say, well, I know who the devil is. He's that fallen angel and all that. What exactly is his plan? What does he want to do with unbelievers? What does he want to do with believers? And we'll see how that fits. And then last, how do these religious leaders respond to Jesus? There's so much there as we go through our passage. Now, as we start, let me just want you to think about this. When in the Christian life, Christians, there, when we think about the devil, we really take two extremes. And this is what we do. We either ignore him or blame him on everything. Sometimes we ignore him. In fact, there are some people who say, listen, there's really not a devil. I mean, it's just the aspect of evil and everything, but there's really no devil and there's no being like that. He doesn't really exist. The problem is they don't realize that he's a roaring lion seeking who may devour. There's other groups of believers who blame him for everything. They say everything that happens is from the devil, and they try to fight him. And behind every sin or everything that happens, they think the devil caused it. Most of the sin in our lives is caused by our own flesh, and we're really not to fight the devil. The Bible says draw near to God and he'll draw near to us. The goal is to get as close to God as possible, not to go out and fight the devil. So how do we view the devil? Who he is? What is his plan? Well, this morning, as we continue seeing Jesus and he's teaching, he's in the temple and he's dealing with the issue of the devil. In fact, he tells, as we said a while ago, these religious leaders, their father's the devil. Now, you know what that's going to do to them. Those religious leaders thought they were the best. They thought they were the most righteous. If you asked the normal person and said, what do you think about that guy over there? And you'd say, oh, that leader, oh, he's the most righteous one of all. I don't know how anybody can be as righteous as those guys. Well, he tells them that their father's the devil. He tells them they belong to the wicked one. We'll see how that foot fits. And we're going to see a great contrast in our passage that to believe in Jesus Christ, our Father is God. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. But you reject Jesus Christ, father's the devil. In John 8:44, that's what we're going to see as we look at the passage. Now, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to go through the passage, but we're going to look at verses 38 through 47. We'll go fairly quickly through them because as Jesus, of course, going back and forth talking with his leaders, we're going to see the contrast between believers and unbelievers, God and the devil, and we're going to see the aspect of being the father's the devil, the father's God. Then, just briefly in the study, we're going to stop for just a little bit. We're going to look at the devil. We're going to talk about his plan and his purpose because he has a plan. He has a plan for unbelievers. He has a plan for believers. And we'll see how that works. Let's start. Let's remember where we are. Jesus is in the temple area. In fact, he's in the treasury part of the temple. That was where they had those big jars. You know, we talked about those big old jars that had those little mouths in them and the people would come in and put money in. And the reason it got real narrow there is so nobody could stick their hand down in there and steal the money out of the big jars. And those were where people gave. In fact, they gave their free will offerings there. Now, when you think about these people, where Jesus goes, crowds follow. He's got his 12, what we call his 12 disciples, and then there are all kind of people. And listen, there are really three big groups. Think about this. There are those who believe in him. 11 of the 12 have believed in him as Savior. There's other groups of people that it says that we look back at In verse 30 of chapter 8, it says, "And as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him." So there are people who believe in him as Savior. They look at him and they say, "I think he's the Savior of the world." There are those who just don't know what to think about him. They see him doing miracles. They hear some people say that he couldn't be the Messiah because he's coming from Nazareth and the Messiah has to be from Bethlehem, things like that. Some people say, "Well, we don't know about him. He does good things. It seems like we don't know what's happening." Then there are those who want to kill him. They're religious leaders. Now, these men are in places of responsibility, and they want to kill him because he has authority and they don't. He speaks with authority and they don't. And the more that he does, the more uproar he's causing, they're afraid that they're going to lose their positions. So they're afraid about all this, and so they would love to get rid of him and to kill him. He's been talking, and we saw this a couple of weeks ago, last week in fact, we saw that he was talking to believers, and he was talking about the issue of discipleship. And one of the things we brought up last week, and I think is very important, is that you understand the difference between being a believer and being a disciple. And we talked about it last week, that being a believer costs you nothing, for by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation is a gift, and anyone who believes in Christ receives the gift of eternal life. We said that discipleship costs you your life. You take up your cross. You follow him. You live for him. That's a Romans 12 passage where you offer your life to God. When you understand that distinction between being a believer and being a disciple, the whole Bible fits together for you. And so I hope you understand that. Jesus was talking about being disciples. And last week he's talked to some of the believers. Right in the middle of him talking about that, some religious leaders sort of interrupted and they started talking to him. And so the rest of this passage, as we continue, he is dealing with religious leaders. Jesus said, "You know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And in fact, that's really the key. In fact, he said the truth of Jesus Christ about salvation, the Christian life, death and resurrection, it sets us free, because that's what happens. Well, they began to look at him, the religious leaders, and said, "Hey, well, we're not in bondage to anyone." And of course, if you remember, we talked last week how the Jewish people had been in bondage with the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greco-Macedonians, the Babylonians and the Romans and the Medo-Persians. I mean, all these. If you just start going up through the list. And so you could almost see Jesus looking at him and saying, "You've said you've never been enslaved to anybody. You're enslaved to Rome right now." And he said that when you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. But he told him how to be free. And he said, "If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed." That's the verse we ended with last week. And by faith in Jesus Christ, you're free from the bondage of sin. You're free from the burden of sin. You're free from the penalty of sin. You're freed from all of that. And that's the bottom line. Now, right in the middle of that, we're seeing this, and he tells this, and then he begins to talk to them, these religious leaders, about who their Father is. And I want you to understand there's a contrast here between the believer and the unbeliever. And if you believe, you're of God. If you're not a believer, he basically says you're of the devil. And by the way, these religious leaders thought because they were Jewish, because they're Jewish, because they're descendants of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, they said, "Because we're Jewish, we got it made." They actually thought because they were Jewish that saved them. And we know that there are people today that think because they go to church, or they grew up in church, or their mom and daddy, they grew up in church in that way, they think somehow because of that they're saved. And they're not. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. So he's going to see this, and as he points this out, I want you to understand that these religious people thought by being Jews they were saved. He's going to say, no. A true child of Abraham is one who believes. If you believe, you're like Abraham, and your father is God. If you don't believe, you're not like Abraham, and your father is the devil. That's what he's going to say, and it's pretty powerful. Look at this right here. He says, believe like Abraham, God's your father. If you not believe, you're not like Abraham, your father is the devil. And so we'll see how that fits. Look what he says in verse 37. He looks at him and says, "I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." Now he makes a point. He says, "I know physically." He says, "I know you're Abraham's descendants. You're offspring of Abraham because you're Jewish people." But being Jewish is not the answer. He's saying, being Jewish is not the answer. Just because you're a descendant of Abraham doesn't save you. See, Abraham was a believer. Abraham believed God. It was credited to him for righteousness. Genesis 15:6. These people haven't believed. So he says, "I know that you're offsprings of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. You're not listening to my word. My word is that I'm the Son of God. My word is that I left the glories of heaven, came to the earth." As you know, the little handouts we give you, the living waters, which is the Gospel of John, that pick up as many as you want and give those out. But in our little handout that we gave you, we've got where Jesus said that "I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the door, I'm the good shepherd." He's been telling them who he is by his signs, the seven signs in the Gospel of John. He's been showing people who he is. And so he says to them, "I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you're trying trying to kill me because my word has no place in you. You don't listen to what I say. See, Jesus Christ is described himself and claimed to be the Son of God. That God is his Father. God loved the world that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to come to the earth. And Jesus is coming. And in this passage, in this book, he's going to die on the cross to pay for sin. He says, you say you're Jewish. That's okay. But you don't believe because you don't listen to what I've said. And then look at verse 38 because he makes this contrast. He says, I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. And he's actually told them there are two fathers there. Now, I want you to understand these religious leaders thought they knew everything. They thought they were the smartest and the best. And so when Jesus says, I've come and I'm telling you the things that I've seen with my father, but you were doing the things from your father, they look at him and they're saying, he's saying there's two different fathers here. And Jesus has promised and said that he's come from God. So Jesus is saying, I've come from God the Father, but your father's not God. And they're beginning to grasp it. And we're going to see who is their father. Because he says, you are doing the things you heard from your father. Who is he talking about? Well, a little bit later on in verse 44, he says their father's the devil. They hadn't picked it up yet. I think you're going to see in just a second. They get it. And they see that he said, oh, wait a minute. You said your father. You said our father. You've got two different fathers here. So what are they going to answer? Notice verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham's our father. We're descendants of Abraham. We're Jewish. Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. If you're really a descendant of Abraham, and if you're like Abraham, what did Abraham do? Abraham believed. Abraham was a believer. Abraham believed in Jesus Christ. Abraham believed in the coming Messiah. Abraham believed. In fact, you remember there was a promise made to Abraham. God came to him and said, you're living in the Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to leave and go to a land that I will show you. And then I will give you a land and I'll make a great nation from you. And there will be a seed come from you and all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. That's Genesis 12, 1 through 3. There's a great promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He knew the Messiah was coming through him. He knew the Savior was coming through him. And so Abraham, in a sense, would say, I know about the Savior. I believe in the Savior. Now, these religious leaders aren't believing. That's why he says to him, they said, Abraham's our father. He says, if you really are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. Do what Abraham did. Abraham was a believer. Abraham believed in the coming Messiah. Now watch. Here's the contrast. He comes back to them in verse 41 and says, you are doing the deeds of your father. And he makes it very clear that you know, in verse 40, look what he says. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me. Now, see, he said, if you're really Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're trying to kill me. A man who's told you the truth, which I've heard from God, this Abraham didn't do. Abraham didn't try to kill me. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Abraham know Jesus? Abraham lived 2,000 years before Christ was ever born. How could Abraham know Jesus? If we say, well, I mean, that really doesn't work because Abraham, you know, 2,000 years, and then, of course, 1,500 years was Moses, and then about 1,000 years was David, and then about 500 or 600 years was Daniel, and then there was John the Baptist, and then Jesus was born. So how in the world could Abraham know Jesus? We're going to see later on in John 8:58, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. I've always existed. You know, Abraham was sitting out by his tent one day, and back in those days, you could see a long way. And he was sitting out, and he looked around. He didn't see anything, and instead he kind of looked down, and he looked up, and there were three men coming. And he knew that if they had been coming from a long way off, he could have seen them, but they just appeared there. And as you know, that one of those was Jesus, and the other two were angels. Abraham knew who Jesus was. Jesus even says, Abraham was really glad to see me. He rejoiced to see my day. We'll see that later on in the passage. That's next week. But look what happens. He says, as it is, you're seeking to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham didn't do. Abraham didn't try to kill me. Abraham believed in me. And then he gets real strong in verse 41, as I mentioned a while ago. He said, you are doing the deeds of your father. Who's he talking about? Back in verse 38, he talked about their father. He is talking about the devil. He says, you're doing the deeds of your father. The next slide, he's talking about the devil. They're not a child of God, but a child of the devil. It's powerful. They realize what he's saying. Now, I want you to understand who these people are. You know, a lot of times we talk about when we study the Bible, especially narrative literature, especially historical aspect, put yourself there. We've talked about being there with Jesus, and here we are, and there's this crowds of people, and there are the 12 that are Jesus' disciples, and let's just say we're in the crowd, and we believe in him, and we're following him around, and sometimes he gets up on the side of a big old hill, and people sit down, and he feeds people, and he heals people, and he talks to people, and he teaches, and so there are all kind of people following him, some just to get healed, some just to be fed, but some are believing that he's the Messiah. And then there's these religious leaders. And let's remind you who they are. These religious leaders would go through the town, go through the cities, and they had these long flowing robes on, and they wanted everybody to see who they were. And when they would go, they wanted people to call them rabbi. They'd say, rabbi, which means my master, my teacher. And when they would go into the synagogues, they got the best seats, because in the synagogues there were two different ways to sit. And there were some people, most of the people sat out this way, but there were some seats that faced out toward the people. The religious leaders wanted those seats so everybody would be looking at them. And if you asked the normal guy, you'd say, do you think that person's righteous? They'd say, well, if they're not righteous, nobody is. And so Jesus has just looked at those men and said, you're not from Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And they now realize that he's saying God is his father, and their father is not God. And the only other one they could think of would be the devil. And so what happens when sometimes you get mad? What happens when people get mad? What happens when somebody tells them something they don't want to hear? Well, they attack. So look what they do. He said in verse 41, you're doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And so they do two things. They attack him. They say, we're not born of fornication. And we say, we have one father who is the real God. We worship the real God. Now, they do two things. What do they mean? First of all, let's look at the fornication. What does he say? What do they say? And go to the next slide. There it is. They said, we are not born of fornication. You know what they're saying to him? They're cutting him down. See, because the rumors were that his mother had him out of wedlock. See, if you go all the way back and people start knowing about the traditions, and you go all the way back to early days of Nazareth and just Jesus and his mother Mary and the husband Joseph, and the rumors were that when that baby was born, they weren't married. And see, back in those days under the Mosaic law, if you had if you got pregnant, if you had sexual relations outside of marriage, they could stone you. You remember with the story of Joseph and Mary, and Mary, the angel came and said, you're going to have a baby, and she wasn't married yet to Joseph, and there was that stigma attached to it, and they still know about it. So they look at Jesus, these religious leaders, and say, what do you say? Okay, I'll tell you what, you're illegitimate. You're illegitimate. You were born of fornication. You were born not being married. Your mama and daddy weren't even married when you were born. That's what they're saying to Jesus. That's a big cut to them. They're making fun of him. They're saying, you were conceived out of wedlock. They're saying it was a sinful birth. That's what they're saying. See, they're mad because Jesus just said, your father's the devil. They said, okay, well, you were born out of wedlock. They're mad. That's what they're trying to do. But then they said something else. We only have one father, and that's God. They were saying that our father is God. Now, Jesus has just said, no, your father's the devil. My father's God. Remember? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized at the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit, like as a dove, came down, and the Father said out of heaven, this is my beloved Son. Jesus says, my Father is the true God. Your father, religious leaders, is the devil. They get back at him and they say, no, you're born of fornication, and we only have one Father, and that's the real God. That's what they're trying to say. So what does Jesus say to them? Jesus said to them, if God were your father, and it's not true, that's a second class if in the Greek, which says if and it's not true. He says, if God were your father, but it's not true, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and I've come from God. For I've not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. If God really was your father, if he was and he's not, you would love me. Because I'm the Son of God. I'm the beloved Son of God. I'm the one that left the glories of heaven and became a human being. I'm the one that is going to die in the place of people. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you love the Father, you love me. Bottom line, if God was really your Father, you would love me. Boy, you know that makes them so mad. They hate him. And he's telling them, God is not their Father. Now, the truth of in this passage if you believe in Jesus Christ, according to what Jesus is saying, if you believe in Christ, God is your father. If you're not believing in him, the devil is your father. Now watch what he goes on to say. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? You know why? It's because you can't hear my word. You know why they can't hear his word? Because they're not believers. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can they know them, for they're spiritually taught. They're not understanding them because they're not believing in him. And they're missing all the truth. And he says, you know why you can't get it? It's because you don't believe in me. And now he's going to say those famous words in verse 44, which are very powerful. Look what he says. You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. You know what he wants? He wants to die. He wants to kill me. You want to kill me because that's what the devil would want. He is a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, which is what he does, he speaks from his own nature. For he's a liar and the father of lies. He lies all the time to every one of us in this room. You live in a fallen world system controlled by him, and there are lies everywhere, and oftentimes we believe them. Look what it says about him. He says, you're of your father, the devil. And the next slide, he is a murderer. There's no truth in him. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. Don't you hate lies? Don't you hate it when somebody tells you something and you know it's not true? You say, that's not true. You're a liar. You're dealing with the devil. We see Jesus talking about the devil. The devil is a liar, and he lies to you about everything. Now, well, I want to stop for just a second, and I want you to see some things. We want to deal with the devil just for a second. And I want you to see two things. We're going to look at his person and his plan. We're going to go very quickly through this. Let's talk about who he is. Who he is an angel. He's a created being. He's a powerful angel. Some people say he's the most powerful angel ever. I do not think so. I think Michael, the archangel, is the most powerful of all angels. But Lucifer, Satan, the devil, is a very powerful angel. He was created. He was at the throne of God. And the problem was he decided he wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. In Isaiah, we have the five I wills, where one of them was, I will be like the Most High. He rebelled against God and was removed from his position. And he's a fallen angel. And some people are so worried, and they'll say things like, oh my gosh, there's the devil and there's God and there's such a tight battle. There is no tight battle. All God does is speak and it's over. Anything that Satan can do, he can do because God allows him to do. He's got some titles. He's the devil, which means slanderer. He's Satan, which means adversary. He's Lucifer, which means the shining one. He's the serpent of old. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. He's called the prince of this world. He's also called the god of this age. He controls the fallen world system. The fallen world system affects your flesh. You're in a fallen world system. That's why the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because this world system is contrary to everything of God, and the devil controls the system. The only reason that the devil controls the system is because God allows him to control the system. It'll be over one day. Now, what's his plan? Let me show you very quickly his plan for the unbeliever. It is to keep them from trusting Jesus Christ. That's his plan. Doesn't matter how he does it. It doesn't matter. In fact, he would like for people to be religious. See, there are people all over the world who pray seven times a day, who look at a statue and say that's God, who do all kind of things, who go to church every Sunday, and as long as they think that somehow gets them to God, Satan doesn't care. He's excited about that. He says if they're religious, fine. See, religion is man trying to please God. Christianity is God pleasing God. God so loved the world that he gave his son. Christianity is what God does for us. Religion is what man tries to do to get to God. You can't get to God through what you do. And the fallenness of Satan and his plan for man is to believe that they can do good and somehow get to God. That's the lie of the devil. Do good and God will love you. First of all, you can't do good. God already loves you. And so his plan for the unbeliever is that they would never trust in Christ. He doesn't care how religious they are. In fact, he would rather them be religious. Because oftentimes people who are religious think they got the answer. They say, well, I go to church. Go to church all the time. Has nothing to do with it. That's his plan. For the believer, he has a plan, and that is to stop us from serving. See, it's too late to stop you from believing in him, believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. So what he wants to do is stop you from serving. He wants to keep you as just a believer and that you never become a disciple. You never choose to live for Christ. Most Christians do not live for Christ. Most Christians, they trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and they're saved and saved forever, but they do not live for Jesus Christ. The devil says, fine, as long as I can keep them from serving, that helps a lot. And what he does is he wants you to do two things. He wants you to doubt God's love, and he wants you to doubt God's word. Those two things. He wants you to doubt the love of God. He wants you to say, if God really loved me, why did this happen? Why did that come into my life? Why did that happen? Why did this person die? Why did this go wrong? Why didn't this work out? If God really loved me, he'd want me to be happy. He wants you to doubt God's love. He wants you to doubt God's word. He wants you to say, well, this is a good book, but there's problems with it. And, I mean, you don't think somebody really got swallowed by a fish. I mean, you know, and you don't really think that it parted, the Red Sea parted, and people walked. I mean, this isn't real. I mean, this is a good book. I mean, this is what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe this is just a book. It is the revelation from God, and it is perfect and true. He doesn't want you to believe that. Now, how does he deal with the local church? You know what he does? Two things. He wants to bring in false teachers, and he wants to cause division. So from without, he brings in false teachers. From within, he causes divisive people. Let me tell you, there are false teachers everywhere. There are people who do not understand the gospel. There's people who do not teach the Bible. Let me tell you what I see is happening in our culture. Our culture is that we have many, many churches, and the emphasis is entertainment. The emphasis is what I call fluff. They come, they say, oh, such a sweet message, such a nice message. I love that message. Never use the Bible. There are people going to church every Sunday. They're walking right out the door and they say, wasn't that a good message? It had nothing to do with the scripture. It had nothing to do with truth. It was just a good message. And they think that's good. And they're into what I call fluff. It's sort of like eating cotton candy. You know, cotton candy looks like big, and then you get it and you put it in your mouth. It gets real little and it's all sweet. And then you go, oh, I hurt my teeth a little bit. And then there's nothing there. And you eat it and you go, I'm still hungry because there's nothing there. A person called me the other day and said, you need to see this message. I thought it was a real good message. So I went on and I watched this message to somebody, and the person never used the scripture one time. He used it one time and it was out of context. And the person that called me said, wasn't that a great message? I said, the guy talked really well, but he never said anything. He wants us to doubt the word. Doubt is love. He wants to have false teachers that people just say things and people go, that sounded okay to me. It sounded okay to you because there was nothing in it. And then he wants to cause division. I don't know where the slide went, but the second thing is to cause division. Go back, if you would, the next slide. The last slide. Yeah. He brings divisive people in. That's why churches have problems all the time, because there are people who begin to look at themselves and they cause division because they think they're important. In all of us in this whole room, nobody's important. Jesus Christ is the key. Everything centers around him. Everything that we do, our lives, our abilities, our talents, our times, everything is for the glory of Jesus Christ, not for the glory of any one of us. And when you begin to get divisive people who say, it's about me. No, it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. That's why when Paul met with the elders of the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he said, after I leave, be careful, because there's going to be false teachers come from without and divisive people from within. The Lord always multiplies and adds, and the devil always divides and subtracts. So his plan for the unbeliever is not to trust Christ. His plan for the believer is to never grow as a Christian, to not live for Christ. Look what he says, and we'll go quickly. He says, because I speak the truth, you don't believe me. That's it, because they believe in the lies. And the truth is this, if you believe the lie, you miss the truth. Think about that. If you believe the lie, you miss the truth. If you've been taught that the Bible is not perfect, if you've been taught that there's errors in the Bible, you have missed the truth. Because somebody gave you a lie and you bought into that and you said, well, yeah, I mean, it's a good book. No, it's not a good book. It is a perfect book. It is holy and right. It is the written revelation from God. You have it in your hands. You need to guard that thing, and you need to read it and study it and dig it and know it and say, I'm going to learn this because this is from God. He said, because I speak the truth, you don't believe in me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? Listen, nobody could convict him of sin because he never sinned. For God has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And so he gives them the summary at the end. This is where we'll stop. He was of God, hears the words of God. Listen, if you're from God, if you believe in God, if you understand the truth, you hear his word. For this reason, you don't hear them. Why? Because you're not from God. He says, you're not of God. He told the religious leaders they weren't believers. That's what he told them. He told them they're from the devil. The truth is this. If a person believes in Jesus Christ, they're a child of God. If a person doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, they're a child of the devil. That's how he's using it. Now, let me show you something. The way Jesus dealt with people. Go ahead to the next slide, I think. when he dealt with sinners, when he dealt with people who knew that they were wrong, who had fallen short of God's glory, who came to God and said, I've blown it, he showed them love, grace, and mercy. Do you remember when the woman, at the very start of this passage, chapter 8, they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery and threw her down in front of Jesus and said, this woman caught in the very act of adultery, what you going to do about it? And of course, Jesus said, if you don't have any sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. And he wrote on the ground. We think he was probably writing their sins on the ground. They all left. When it was all over with, he looked at the woman and said, who accuses you? And she said, nobody. He said, I don't either, but leave your life of sin. He showed her grace, mercy, and love. With the religious leaders, with the hypocrites, he told them exactly how it is. And he said, your father is the devil and you have no part with God. That's how he deals with the religious leaders. That's how he deals with the hypocrites. What have we seen? Jesus said, if you believe, you're like Abraham, God's your father. If you don't believe, you're not like Abraham, the devil's your father. The religious leaders said, wait a minute. And they were trying to kill Jesus because their father really is the devil. And he's the father of lies. So let me quickly give you two applications or several applications. One is, who is your father? Think about this. Well, either your father's God or your father's the devil. You believe in Jesus Christ, you're like Abraham, you're a man of faith, you're a child of God. If you reject Jesus Christ, you're not like Abraham, you're not a child of God, your father's the devil, and you belong to the fallen world. That's what it's all about. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, that you would say, I have put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know I have eternal life. So where are you? Child of God by faith, John 1:12, or a child of the devil, you reject Jesus Christ and you're of this world. You may have not realized how serious it is to not be a believer in Christ. To be a believer in Christ, you have life forever. To reject Jesus Christ, you have death forever and you're separated. In this passage, you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Second, understand the person and the plan of the devil. I want you to think about it. First of all, with the unbeliever, he never wants them to believe. He wants them to think good works and religion, and that's fine with him. He would like them all coming to church as long as they thought coming to church would save them. For the believer, he wants us never to serve and never to grow. He wants us to say, how can you serve a God who didn't give me what I really wanted? If God really loved me, he would have taken care of me. He wants you to doubt his word. And he wants you to doubt his love. That's what the devil wants. Don't doubt his love. He loves you with an everlasting, unconditional love. And don't doubt his word. It is perfect and true. What are those two areas that he tries to do? Doubt. God's one, false teachers and division. Be careful. There are a lot of people who say things well, but they don't say anything. And sometimes what they say is wrong. Check it according to the scripture. And if they're not using the scripture, then realize something wrong, right? If you can't check it according to the scripture, just realize if they're not using scripture, something's wrong to begin with. Okay? It's got to be the word of God. Watch for those divisive people. Trust God. He loves us. May we be used by God to bring many to the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. May we be aware of the plan and the purposes of the devil, both to the believer and the unbeliever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these great truths. Help us, Lord, as we see how Jesus was dealing with these religious leaders. Lord, we realize that either God is our Father or the devil is our Father. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life, and God is the Father. Whoever does not believe, the devil is the Father and does not have eternal life. Lord, I hope and pray that every person in this room will have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, may we understand the person and the plan of the devil, that powerful angel who does not want unbelievers to ever believe and does not want believers to ever serve. Lord, may we live our lives for your honor and for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.